The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Honey, the online shopping platform that helps consumers save time and money, is building a Boulder office and looking for software engineers to join the team. Find out more at joinhoney.com/careers. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. We have a unique startup and tech community here on the edge of the Rockies, and we want you to know about it. The Boulder Tech Podcast features conversations with leaders, thinkers, and influencers, sharing their views on what's happening in Boulder's rapidly evolving tech scene. These interviews were recorded during the 9th annual Boulder Startup Week. When it started in 2009, Boulder Startup Week was the first event of its kind, anywhere. Now, Startup Weeks are held around the world. It's a great example of Boulder's position on the leading edge of tech and the future. Episode number 19 of the Boulder Tech Podcast features Sarah E. Brown, Director of Content Marketing at Building Connected and founder of the Flatirons LGBTQ Tech Meetup. Our conversation covers increasing diversity in tech through non-tech roles, creating an inclusive environment where everyone can bring their whole selves to work, and Sarah's vision for the best Boulder. Let's talk about your marketing experience.
So I'm about to start a new role in about a week at a company called Building Connected, which is a SaaS platform for the pre-construction industry. And they're based in San Francisco, so I am relocating. But I've been working for a company in Palo Alto called Service Rocket for the past 3 years, having going back and forth from the Bay Area to Boulder. And I have to say, both communities are so exceptional. It's like choosing between a pile of diamond rings. Which one do I want to wear today? They're both phenomenal.
Do you see much difference between the two?
So Boulder and Palo Alto have been my primary stomping grounds, and they're both incredibly bubble-ish. I don't think either one is reality, and I mean that in the best way. In Palo Alto, the self-driving cars are less likely to stop for you than the driven cars in Boulder. I will say that. Definitely had a couple of, or I should say other way around. Self-driving cars are more likely to stop for you than personed cars in Palo Alto, whereas in Boulder, I think people are much more open to cyclists and pedestrians. How about that?
Yes, that sounds about right. Where how long have you been in the marketing biz?
Yeah, I've been doing this about 10 years, and my specialty is B2B SaaS. For about 4.5 years, I ran my own marketing consulting company, and I found that working primarily with this niche, B2B SaaS companies, primarily focused on customer success, was really exciting to me. And just around that time, I mean, Salesforce kind of coined customer success. They had this philosophy that a leaky bucket or churn would be the downfall of a software as a service company. And I think now it's become mainstream. Venture capitalists are talking about it. But back then, it wasn't on the tip of everyone's tongues. So I got interested in it. And from a marketing perspective, I became really excited about not just bringing customers in the door, the acquisition piece, but how do we retain them and how do we provide value to them across the customer lifecycle so that they are more likely to buy more, stay loyal, and potentially become advocates and refer other customers, which is, again, another acquisition funnel. So I'm doing this for a while. It's still extremely fun. I'm excited to do this work from the content side at Building Connected, which is a market I'm really excited about because they haven't been marketed to. These are people across the construction industry, both contractors and subcontractors who have, there's a lot of trust that that we, I think, have with this audience. And if we don't squander it, we have a real opportunity to provide a lot of value for them and hopefully retain them and help them become really loyal customers.
How much of your marketing approach when you're working for one business, then you're working for another business. How much does the approach, how much of what you do is sort of boilerplate from account to account or client to client versus
sure,
we need to come up and invent a new wheel?
Sure. So I'll clarify. I've been in-house. Service Rocket, I was in-house. My most recent role with them was director of marketing. So I was working with the team remotely, but I was a full-time employee. And when I did consulting work, your question's a good one because I don't think you can really boilerplate. And I think each market has different needs. With that being said, providing value is the key across any business. And whether we're marketing to another software company or to a construction company or potentially even B2C. I have much less experience in B2C. You want to look at how we can be helpful. And the tech podcast that I co-host is called Helping Sales Radio. So you can tell I take this helping approach very seriously.
And how did you get into podcasting?
Sure. Well, as you know, doing a podcast, it's not the least amount of work ever. It's definitely takes some time to get up and running. But so when I was doing consulting with a company called Frontleaf, which was acquired in 2015 by Zwora, which is a company that's, I think they're about to IPO, or if they haven't already when the time this comes out, they do subscription billing, things like that. So Frontleaf was new to the customer success. They were a player along with Gainsight and at the time Blue Nose and Tatango and Preact. Preact got acquired by Spotify. Blue Nose sort of shuttered and Tatango is still chugging along and Gainsight is the industry leader. But at that time, there were many more players in the space. So we had to figure out a way to differentiate Frontleaf from other companies. Frontleaf was a lot smaller, had a lot less market share. And so a podcast, I thought this could be a good idea to get prominence in the industry with a relatively low investment. We're not putting on a multi-million dollar industry conference, right? We're putting on a customer success podcast. So there hadn't been a customer success podcast. There are since many awesome ones. But at that time, there weren't any. So we launched it with the co-founders, Tom Crackler and Rachel English, and they kicked off. And so from that experience of helping them from the marketing side grow a very successful podcast, which became a very strong lead source for them, when I came to Service Rocket, I thought, what the hell, we could do this. You know, it's not too hard. Turns out it's harder than it looks to do it as a host. I had never been a host of a show. And you find out all these things. I mean, you're a radio personality. I mean, how's it been for you transitioning from radio to podcasting?
It's been pretty smooth. You know, most of the time, most of the interviews I've done for radio, it's been mostly artists that I've interviewed. And I've been somewhat familiar with the artists. And this week with these Boulder Startup Week interviews, except for maybe one or two people, I didn't know anyone before, and I didn't really know what they were doing. So it was just kind of like, you know, you and I just met about 3 minutes before we started rolling this tape, and I'm learning about what you do on the fly. I'd say the biggest part has been sort of like trying to absorb what you do and take that in and understand it and also think of the next question.
Sure.
To ask.
Yeah. My podcast co-host and I, Bill Cushard, we would interrupt each other at first and occasionally we'd ask a question and then we'd want to go back to another question. It's not always the most seamless process, but I think with good editing, it all hopefully sounds a little bit more coherent.
Yes. So. I'm fairly confident with my editing skills. If you're listening and care to comment, joel@thevibrarian.co. Awesome. It's been, I really just enjoy learning what people are up to and just the face-to-face connection and then the production part of it. I really love getting into that as well.
Absolutely. Growing up, I wanted to be a journalist. I thought that was what I was going to go into.
Same here.
Very cool. I think there's a few of us who've sort of made our way into the tech industry. And what I love about doing a podcast is it does give you the opportunity to learn from people whom you admire, whom you want to learn more from. And have conversations, an excuse to talk to people really and learn more about what they're doing.
You've had a lot of success with marketing and tech. Did you come to tech as a marketer or were you into tech and then got into marketing after that?
Great question. I came in as a marketer and I think this transition from journalism to marketing is pretty seamless. And I think a lot of people, so we talk a lot about diversity in tech. How can we get more folks in the door? How can we expand the pipeline? And I've gotten up on a soapbox lately because I think it's great to get into boot camps. We definitely need to make computer science access more available to everyone. And at the same time, there's so many roles in tech that people from diverse backgrounds are ready to fill. They just don't necessarily know about it. And someone who grows up with connections in the industry understands what marketing is, understands how they could play a role in a tech company in a non-technical role because of those connections, they're given an advantage. Whereas I see a lot of open roles in tech, including in Boulder, where people just don't know about them and don't understand that they're already qualified. So I think there's some room to, whoever's listening to this and wants to do this work, there's some room to bridge the gap between the open roles for marketing, even HR, and some other parts of the, you know, sales organization that don't require coding skills for people who maybe have those innate skills. They just don't look like the person who typically holds those roles.
That's interesting because as someone, you know, I've been working out of Dojo 4 for a couple of years now, 2.5 years, and just met through a mutual friend. And I am not a coder. I don't know anything about code. But I still feel, I feel drawn to the tech sector here in Boulder. And so I've been sort of searching for a way to get involved without being a tech guy myself. But it sounds like from what you're saying, you agree that there is space in the tech biz for non-tech people.
Definitely. And people who are non-technical are already holding exciting roles. And I just think we need to do something to bridge the skills, the gap of people who are qualified for the roles but don't know it. And that excites me.
So as a woman working in the tech industry and also someone with some level of connection clearly to the LGBTQ community, what sort of issues interest you where those, all those things intersect?
That's a great question. So I'm going to answer this from a local perspective and then I'll make it global. So from a Boulder, Denver perspective, I founded Flatiron's LGBTQ tech meetup in 2014. And at that time, I'm going to take everyone back on a history tour. Boulder Startup Week had one or two events aimed at the diversity question. It was a women in tech event held in the failure track. There were different tracks back then. It was failure track. It was held in the basement of Techstars. And it was Ingrid from who was previously from Quick Left speaking about statistics and how abysmal they were. And that was very depressing. It was, I think, Bronuts, which was a fledgling donut company at the time. So the irony isn't lost on me. Bronuts were being served at this failure track event on women in tech. And I was heartbroken. I thought, you know, I was new to Boulder. I thought this isn't all that there should be. So I went up to Brad Feld after the event and I said, hi, I'm new to this community and I think we should do more for the LGBTQ community. And he said, great, I'll support you. So I founded a meetup group. Brad Feld was very kind. He emailed his list, his super secret list of portfolio companies who ostensibly cared about diversity, which I hope is all of them. But I never saw who was really on that list. I just got lots and lots of replies from wonderful people in his portfolio who wanted to help. So we've worked with, since then, many companies to put on events, panels, Boulder Startup Week events, happy hours, things to help create a sense of community. Because I've seen something happen over the last few years where we are getting some traction and we're having these conversations and it's not perfect by any means, but I do think things have gotten better and our meetup group is now over 700 people, many of whom are allies. We're part of NCWIT in the Affinity Group Alliance and we now have 8 co-organizers, a really talented group of people who are putting on events, promoting things that interest them. And I would say from a local perspective, we're doing more and more to engage companies and candidates. Companies are reaching out to us to hire candidates, looking for that pipeline of people who, you know, maybe aren't the typical candidate, or maybe they are, but they're not necessarily finding out about these roles. And I'd say from a global perspective, I mean, what we're doing here locally, it makes a difference. And I'm in a funny position, right? Because I'm moving to San Francisco, Bay Area, after living in Boulder for 5 years. But Boulder will always be my home. I plan to come back here at some point. And I think the reason why is because, at least for me, this meetup group has been such an incredible community. And I feel like these issues, you know, you never solve it. It's just constantly working on it over time. And I think we've put together an incredible group of people who are really dedicated to making things better.
And it seems like you say you want to come back here eventually. So it seems like going to the Bay Area will only benefit you in the sense that I'm imagining they have LGBTQ meetups there, but their set of issues may be entirely different because they're further along the spectrum because that community is so deeply entrenched in that part of the country. So bring that experience back to Boulder, which will be a little bit further down the continuum as well.
That makes me really happy to hear, and I hope so. That's the idea. I'll also say I'm a sailor, and I sail at Longmont Union Reservoir, and I'm really excited to get my butt kicked sailing on the San Francisco Bay again, because it's so much harder.
Yes.
And come back here and try to race on Union Res and hopefully be a little bit more skillful.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a difference between the reservoir and that bay.
Just a little.
Yep. Is Boulder a sort of a target, a desirable place in the LGBTQ community? Like, is it considered a safe city and people really want to work here? Not just because there's so many opportunities and because of the, you know, the beauty of it, but also just for that fact as well?
I don't feel like I have an authority to speak for every LGBTQ person. I'm a white woman, privileged background. I would say I feel comfortable here. And I also know that Boulder is not comfortable for everyone. And we need to do more to make it more comfortable for everyone. I think Denver is a little bit further along in that way. But even still, I would say Boulder has the potential to be an incredible city for more people. And I think we're on the right path and we're working in the right direction to make it more accessible and inclusive. And of course, we have some of the most beautiful nature in the world and some of the most exciting companies coming out of Techstars and other accelerators in town. And I think we have a really great mentorship community. And if you want to start a company, gosh, we have some of the best VCs in the whole world. Foundry Group in particular is, I'd say, top VC in terms of who you could have on your board as a friend, in terms of not just someone to give you money. So I want that to be for everyone. And I feel like that's possible, but we're not there yet. So I would like to see that continue to progress.
How would you characterize diversity in Boulder? I mean, you know, you look around and sort of the reputation is lily white, but it obviously, well, maybe not so obviously, goes a little deeper than that. And what are your thoughts on that?
So I'd say there's all kinds of diversity. And I think, you know, I've been on panels for Boulder Startup Week, for other events where being a woman means I'm diverse. There's other events where being LGBTQ is the diversity factor. I think we all have pieces of ourselves that make us different. And I like to shift the focus towards how can we let everyone bring their whole selves to work and be their full selves as an individual, whether, you know, you're a man who grew up in the South and you feel like your, you know, your experience in Boulder is different from someone who maybe grew up here, or you're a person of color and you're having, you know, you're from a different background here. We have a lot of more diversity than we give credit for, but those folks don't necessarily get asked to be on panels. And we need to do more to make sure that we're being inclusive to everyone, regardless of what their difference is.
Is there a characterizing trait that would maybe differentiate the Boulder tech and startup community from others?
I think the give first mentality that Brad Feld and Andrew Hyde espouse really sets the tone for this community. This is a place where people give not to receive. They give because they genuinely want to make the community better. And I don't see that everywhere. That's a really special trait about Boulder.
I agree. And that's pretty much the answer that everyone is giving.
Maybe it's the right one. Maybe it's true.
It could be. I'm definitely detecting a trend after 18 interviews. Anything else you'd like to add about, you know, parting thoughts? Is you when are you leaving for San Francisco?
I'm not sure when this is coming out, but sometime this summer. So I'll be definitely trying to soak up all the Boulder Startup Week has to offer and doing lots of as many community events as possible before I head out.
And any thoughts about leaving or anything else?
Sure. I think a lot about leaving. And I think the sign of a really strong community is one where people feel they can leave and then come back. And as you alluded to earlier, hopefully learning something and bringing something special back to the community. And I think that's what I envision for the best Boulder in the world, which is people coming and going and bringing their uniqueness. This is a small mountain town, but we punch above our fighting weight in terms of so many different backgrounds, people, experiences, skills. Our tech scene is way bigger than it should be in some respects. So I'm excited to hopefully be part of that and continue learning and growing here.
Well, I wish you all the best and look forward to hearing and seeing what you come back with.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Sarah Brown, thanks very much. That was Sarah E. Brown of Building Connected and founder of the Flatirons LGBTQ Meetup. Her blog can be found at sarahbrownmarketing.com. Follow her on Twitter at SEB Marketing. Episode number 19 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week data science track sponsor, Carbon Black. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week Platinum sponsors Matter, Zayo, Google, and Boulder Engineering Studio. We're also presented by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for the recording gear. Our intro music is by Echodeck, that's E-C-C-O-D-E-K. Hear more at echodeck.com. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, and comments are welcome. Reach me at joel@thevibrarian.co. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.